everybody pray.
Sunday, December 29th.
Yes. So,
Lord, we ask for your presence today, O Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we ask for the light of your truth. We would have light, O Lord, that if there is anything that is off in our way of thinking, things that don't align with your truth, O Lord, Lord, you shine your light on that, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, that we would have a heart that is anxious to receive correction.
Yes.
That we would not get touchy and defensive about that thing, O Lord, that we would say, oh, good. Oh, good.
Yes.
I'm glad to be straightened out on that one.
Yes.
Do that work. If there is something that resists that in us, O Lord, change us so that we can have an open heart to receive your correction, Lord, by your Spirit, Lord. And bless the day. Bless our service today. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Let us hear through the coffee.
Yeah.
I have to set a few more chairs up.
Last week we were talking about I get up sometimes during the night and I hear things on the tape.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about how when John the Baptist leaped in the
womb,
and she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says, albeit. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, just that he leaped in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
She was filled.
Right.
Because we kind of thought that maybe it was John the Baptist that received the Holy Spirit.
That's why he leaped. But he leaped because she was filled.
Because she was filled. And did he recognize that?
It referred to him having the Spirit.
Well, we kind of alluded to it last week.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe not then, but I
don't know. Somewhere.
And I looked and I can't find any place else.
Well,
there might be, but I didn't find it in a quick search.
I can't look today because I forgot my glasses.
He was out in the desert, you know, I think, with the spirit, eating locusts and wild honey. And
I thought it was kind of funny that I heard that, you know.
I
was kind of half asleep and awake. And
the reason you heard it.
I think so. So, anyway, that's. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. I heard a scripture verse. It's like you think after a while you heard them all, but you read it again. I heard a scripture verse, and it's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Have you looked it up, Courtney?
I did not.
Oh, I told him all about it.
Shame on you.
I'm not bawling you out. But anyway, before I want to get into that, but before we do, let me read some other scriptures. You know, we wonder how everything began, and the Bible says, in the beginning, God. That's all it says. In the beginning, God. Why? It's because in the beginning, God. But anyway, in Hebrews 1, it says, and God, who in sundry times and different manners in the past spoke unto the Jewish fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Well, anyway, there's a scripture, but before I get to that scripture, I got about three or four more scriptures that I have. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, it says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. You remember what it says in Hebrews 11:3? It says, through faith, we understand that the heavens were created by the word of God. You know, that's what it says. Through faith, we understand. Well, anyway, they are willingly ignorant that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, now listen to this verse, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, that we're familiar with, are by the same word, are kept in store. We were created by the word of God, by God through the word. And it says, and the heavens and the earth that we have now are kept as they are by the word of God. And if the word of God was not there, we wouldn't have them. And so, and they are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the earth shall melt with fervent heat, and also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then here's the verse. Seeing then that all of these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Seeing this is the inevitable, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Where did this all come from? Everything that exists.
Word of God.
Well, there are a lot of theories. My brother-in-law used to, he knew that somehow there was a God. But what he did is he studied a lot of Eastern religions, and he had pictures of a lot of these guys on his wall. And I can remember seeing them. And you know what? He never found what he was looking for. But anyway, let me read this verse that I heard the other day. For this cause, this is in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, what you heard of us, you did not receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Did you catch that? You didn't receive, when you heard the word of God from us, you didn't receive it as the words of men, but you received it as the word of God, which it actually is, he's saying. And I thought, it took, you know, I was a pastor for a long time before I used to kind of look at it, and I thought, well, these are words of men. And but Paul says here, we thank God that you did not receive it that way. It took God to cause it to become his word. And that's what it takes. Mm. You'll never believe it's God's word unless you allow God to convince you. Now, in the natural, I have seen enough to convince even those that are the impeachment people. You know what I mean? But But that's not, not that's not for everybody. That was for me. I have seen the unbelievable. And I was talking to a friend of Brittany's. I thought he was going to be here this morning. His name is Curtis. And he was, we're talking, and he was just dumbfounded at some of the things. And I said, you know what? I'm almost afraid to tell you these things. Because if you're looking at it in the wrong way, you think I'm lying to you. But they're true. This is actually what happened. And you know, God gives us evidence. We, you know. But anyway. The way is open. Go ahead.
Sort of on the same subject, I heard something that I guess I knew it was in here, but you know the way that works.
Yeah.
There's a boom, goes on, you know, something. in John chapter 15, I'll start in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, I guess them being the Pharisees or somebody, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father. You know, ignorance is bliss here. They'd have been a whole lot better off if they hadn't seen this stuff. They would have been without sin. But they saw that and made some kind of decision in their mind that, I don't know what the decision was. Say, up is down or something, you know. That was the sin, to see it and not accept it.
Yeah, well, the things of God are impossible. They're impossible. So when we look at them, only God can open the doors so that we understand them. And that is a mystery. So we have a lot of people that are trying with their intellect to figure out God and you can't do it. The Bible says that God's ways are beyond or past understanding. So God has got to open the door. And that's what makes it very, very, very difficult. And, I mean, I think God... Yeah, go ahead.
That's what makes it really difficult for the impatient.
Yeah.
You know, this would suggest that the Lord leaves the door ajar. And it's up to us to either push it or pull it shut. I don't know.
Well, there's a scripture that says, where God says, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. You know what? That's the truth. But it's too easy just to reserve a little bit of our own thought patterns and whatever, you know. Well, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to limit how much I try. And been there, done that. And even as a minister, you know, I was thinking of this morning as Eli came in, and I thought one of the big reasons Eli's here is because he can't ice fish. No, I mean, Eli's a sweetheart. He's here all the time. But I'm saying he can't get on the lakes. Well, I want to tell you something. As a pastor, I fought, you know, in the day you seek me with all of your heart. And he got his ice fishing bug. He might have got some from his dad, but he got most of it from his grandpa. And I would sit in church. We would be having a service, and I was thinking about the next day ice fishing. I went through a long time of all this. Well, let me tell you about, you know, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, I was not doing that. And there was nothing wrong with the ice fishing. But it was in the way in my life. But in the day that we, when we get serious, you know, I had an experience. And 20 years ago, which caused me to start listening to the scriptures nonstop. And I heard a voice. And it's the only time I've ever had an experience like that. And it says, and here's the first statement. If you're serious, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, if you're serious, pause, and you want to find me, pause. You have to look for me where I am. And I was made to know somehow inside that here's where you got to look. Here's where you look. You don't look in a church that has made their own private conclusions, you know.
I wonder if finding God, I don't think that finding God is the end of the story, either because, like the parable of the sword, but I'm not going to quote, it appears that you can find God, but not stay with God. Maybe finding God is the beginning of the story. Mm-hmm. Finding God is not salvation, really. It's just finding Him, realizing, and continuing Him.
Well, since His ways are past finding out,
right.
Don't you have to keep finding out?
Right, right. And let's go back a couple of minutes. You know, like, only, like I said, only God can make you believe in God.
Yeah.
You know, we can talk all day long, forever. We can read the whole Bible to someone, make pictures, drawings, and act it out. But there's nothing we can do more than just show the word or give the word or point of the word. But God is the one that will make this word become something or become truth in someone. You know, so there's no reason to get frustrated or upset that we are not convincing someone, because we cannot convince anyone. No matter how much truth we have or understanding or knowledge or experience, only God can make you believe in God. And sometimes it will take nothing. All of a sudden, the person believes in God. Sometimes it may take years or a lifetime. And the person on his deathbed finds God.
The conversations that we're having right now, this is pretty much what we always have. You know what I mean? We're always looking. We're always, you know, the Bible says that we are to receive a love for the truth. A love for the truth. A love for the truth. And Jesus says, sanctify them, separate them through your truth in prayer. And He says, your word is truth. So we are looking into the Word, and we are developing, I am developing a love for the truth. I want the truth. I don't want, even as much as I love you guys, I don't want your rendition of it. Mm. I want the truth.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And because, you know what Jesus said, what the truth does? It makes you free.
You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, I think, earlier. You know, love of the, like Jesus, you know, love of the truth. And Jesus says, you know, you should live by every word of the Word of God. By every word, meaning every word. So, well, I think one of the flaws of the general church is that, see, like I've said before, when we take the God's word in, we need to just believe it. You know, just believe it. And what happens in certain groups of people, that they do believe, except one scripture or two scriptures, they don't believe it. They just can't. And that voids the whole word of God.
Yes, it is.
Just, it's like a little pin that will burst a bubble. And there's no Bible anymore. You have to believe even if you are convinced on certain things and it goes against your personal knowledge, you have to believe everything. As hard as it might be, you have to believe it. Just believe it. Don't worry, like I always say, how did it happen? How did God say, let there be this and that, and it is? If the word how conflicts with faith. Don't use the word how, just believe it. But however, that's not something you can do on your own. God will have to make it up also.
Now, believing and understanding are two different things. There's a batch of the Bible I don't get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm not about to reject it on that account.
Mm-hmm.
But, I got some understanding coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
It always does.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You start picking and choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Now this seems right to me. This one, hey, I don't know about that one.
Right.
Yeah, no. You made yourself God at that point.
Right.
And,
right.
And you can then make up a bunch of different religions.
Oh, yeah.
the scripture that we have up here, the second line, God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Where are you going to get it? You know what I mean? Where are we going to get it?
It's interesting. I was watched a podcast on YouTube, and I don't know if I want to say the person's name or not, but and they were discussing how when he was young, he was involved in New Life, which was a young people's program in a lot of the churches, and then eventually, and he said it was fun going there because they weren't so strict like when you go to church where he went, you know. But then by the end of the interview there or whatever, it was like, well, what kind of a God would condemn 3/4 of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was sitting here, and you read the one scripture, and if they come and receive repentance, now, see, they're not seeing that, they're not seeing this, they're not seeing that, yeah, God, the loving God, wants everyone to be saved, but he, because he is the creator, has certain conditions,
yeah,
which people don't want to accept. Even though they were created, and he gave them a free will to think that way, he still has his way. And so it's kind of like when, and I was in that place, why would I want to live in this world how I want to live, forgetting that all of eternity I could be, you know. So it's kind of like, so it's like, no, I want to think like I want to think while I'm alive. Well, that's like 80 years of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was the same way, and I still struggle with that, seeing, making those two comparisons. It's like, I should be so devout, you know, I mean, but whatever. And it was interesting that he was kind of open to more different religions, to just everyone should get along or anything, you know. And I probably really could burst some bubbles if I said what it was, but it was Aaron Rodgers. You know, and but everybody's susceptible.
He's a big tent kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's being interviewed by his girlfriend. Dana Fitzpatrick.
But it's not anybody here.
No. But I mean, that's pretty much where a lot of people are nowadays, is, you know.
Well, yeah.
It strikes me as reaching the very heart of the original sin.
Yeah.
They ate of apple.
Right.
And that apple gave them a knowledge of good and truth.
Yeah.
Which was separated in some kind of way from God's
See, and it's exactly where the enemy can come in, Satan, and start making you think that way. Because that's what he did with Eve. Well, don't you want to know good and evil and everything? Don't you want to know everything? Eat of this tree. But that's why all of a sudden nobody's going to live forever anymore in the natural, because God said, well, once you eat of that tree, you die. Not this day, but eventually you die.
You don't have access to the tree of life.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so he really uses that. I mean, he really, you know.
Oh, he does. Yeah. and it seems so reasonable.
Yeah.
But, you really are making yourself the boss. You'll be as gods. Well, yeah, right. You got that one right, Satan.
Yeah.
You'll be as gods, all right. You know, knowing good and evil. And it is this good and evil deal that's kind of parallel, close in a lot of respects, but then it's not close enough to be right, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's by the grace of God that you get truth anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so, yeah. I had another experience while on YouTube. I listened to this guy, Joshua Aaron, who is a, how do you say that, he's a Jewish believer. And
Messianic.
That's the word I couldn't think of. And he's a worship leader also. And so they were in the Citadel of David in Jerusalem, where they perform and stuff and everything. But I was really affected because I thought, wow, you know. But then all of a sudden, I was, you know, it's interesting because most of their songs address God. Because, see, as a Jewish people, they can't help but address God, you know. And then Christ comes in also, you know, but I think I caught one where it still was putting Christ as God. And I just, the Lord put a burden on my heart right away. I mean, it was like, I just had this groan like, oh, Lord, they got to get the whole truth. You know, if they could just get the whole truth. What a difference, you know? I mean, then they'd really be free. Not that I'm somebody, but, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
It's so ironic, because you would think that the Jewish religion would set you up for a knowledge that Jesus was a man.
Right.
They were expecting a Messiah. God. Yeah, one God. They're, you know, it's hammered over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. They were expecting a Messiah. An anointed man, and I think, you know, accepting the Trinity is a terrible hump for a whole lot of Jews.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just can't do it. But, divinity of Christ, you know, and it's a hump that is into deception.
Yeah,
I think actually he was
having a conversation with another guy. In one of the other podcasts. And I think the guy said, Jesus, you know, referred to as being all-knowing, you know, all-powerful, everything. Well, that's the attributes of God, which only if Christ has that, it's because God gave it to him, you know. But it was funny because it just put like a, you know, a burden on my heart for him. I love the music. I mean, it's got some of the Jewish, the kind of guitars they play and stuff, and it just has a nice, you know, it affected my spirit, but at the same time, you know.
Sort of on that subject, scripture where Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said that one man has to die for the nation. And right now I'm not remembering what gospel is that in John, but anyway, and it makes clear that he was prophesying by the Holy Spirit. He was, you know, so the Holy Spirit was upon him, and
he was speaking truth.
Yeah.
And so the old, I guess the old covenant was in effect to have the Holy Spirit be operating through the high priest, the one who was designated as high priest at that time.
Yeah.
I, you know, it was still in effect. The question, I don't know if that continued after the death and resurrection of Christ. Probably not, but you know, it was still the Holy Spirit was operating through the old system there at that point.
I heard one too, and I can't find it because it's, it doesn't come up with a name when I'm hearing it in my truck. And but it said, I think it was like by the will of God, Christ something. So it was like, it was still God's will, whatever he did. He didn't do it on his own, you know. It was by the will of God, and I can't remember even what the rest of that, what the end of the scripture was saying was at that point. Like, I looked for it, and I couldn't find it. I thought it was in Romans or something.
Well, Pablo hit on a verse, which is in Matthew 4:4, where Jesus is being tempted by the devil. And the devil said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. It says, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that is a weakness, a big weakness of the church. Because a lot of the people go by the by what they want in the word. And I don't remember who or anything, but I remember years ago, where there were some that wanted to say that we, that some of the chapters in the Bible don't belong. Or one individual, and I know who this one was, says that the books in Revelation are in the wrong order.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how smart you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should have told God that.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, man shall live by every word. You know what? It wasn't until the last 20 years that I began to realize that every word that was in here is not in here by accident. Nor did men keep the Bible intact. Or the Wonder Bible that is so popular. It's in so many different environments. It's almost in every store. And I thought, what's it doing there? I went and bought several of them at Walmart, and they were sitting. There was a display of the Wonder Bibles, and the clerk was sitting right here across the aisle. And I said, "Do you have any Wonder Bibles?" And the gal was, you know, not really her fault or something. And she says, "I don't think we do." You know what? I had to go ask where they were. And come back, because I didn't see them either. They were right next. She could look at them. And but the Wonder Bibles did not get into circulation. I mean, they have become super popular. God is the one behind it. And we look at it and we think, well, what organization did this? And I'd say, none. God wants his word into the hearts of people. There's a scripture setting that's in the 8th and the 10th chapter of Hebrews. It's in both of them. And God, in this thing, he says, I'm going to do a new thing. It's not like the thing of the past, which was the law. But he says, I'm going to write my word in men's hearts and in their minds. I'm going to write my word in people. And That's who Jesus was. That's not that we have attained to that or anything, but he was the expressed image, the Bible says, of the invisible God. Meaning the expressed. He was the expression. God used him to express. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. That was 2,000 years ago. It's still the last days.
Yeah. I want to go back because the only reason I brought up the thing about Rogers was what you said, that see, he had a seed that was planted in his youth, but obviously it didn't screw the right kind of roots and grow the right kind of, you know, it didn't come out the right kind of seed.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which is what happens a lot. That's why it's...
Who was it?
Aaron Rodgers. That's why anyone can, like, you, just exactly what you said. You know, you can get the word. It doesn't
that's
mean that you can stay with the word.
Oh.
You know.
Where?
So it's not a given. And then I was thinking, you know, I mean, and I don't even know that he, I don't know if he had a born again experience or not. But you can be born again. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and still not, still be taken away. You know, so it's not a one thing. You know, you have to keep wanting. You have to keep wanting to feed.
Well, the Bible says in Matthew 7, it says, you know, that straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it. Because most people aren't looking for it. Few there be that find it. And I thank God, for even though it's been up and down sometimes, but for the last 60 years, of the things that God has done in me and for me and for my family, I am so thankful. I'm thankful for Pablo. It's like, where did he come from? He comes from this strange country that I wasn't even familiar with. I thought it was something to eat. And a chili or, you know, something to eat. And anyway, he comes over and gets off the airplane and gets a hunger for the Word of God, and he's been that way ever since. That's, 20 years ago. Why?
I knew about it.
I got a Christmas card from Corky and Susan. And I looked at that thing and I thought, you know what, I can read their hearts. I can see their insights from that Christmas card. And I am so thankful because God is doing something in us, but it's not because of me and it's not because of you. It's because the presence of God has become He's in our midst. Yeah. And, you know, we've had, at one time here, we had over 300 people in this church. We don't have 300 anymore.
We would be having these discussions if we had 300.
You know what? I think if it happened, I think we would.
Right, right. But, I'm just wondering, you know, I probably wouldn't be speaking out as much.
Well, we're getting set up to go down where the church is. And it's happening. It took a while, but it's happening. We're getting set up, and we're thinking that that what we need is to kind of have a, you know, a circle or whatever. And
more intimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we had lots more people and we're still in this circle and they were sitting behind and, you know, whatever, it wouldn't matter. Good.
It could
be the same thing.
People clamoring to get in.
Well, the thing is, there's only one scripture setting that I know of in the entire Bible that gives us the way that a church service should be conducted. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14. And it says, how is it, brethren, when you come together, one has this, one has that, one has this. You know what I mean? That's the only place that I know that gives us a way to have a church service. And what we have, and I've been there, what we have in the church structure is a one-man operation. Everything, you know, who was it that said that he was the neck? And you know, that God fed everything to him, and then they went through the neck, and then went in out to the rest of the people. And I'm thinking, I don't think so. And as we're listening to the scriptures, then we all are getting involved, because we're getting the things that are eternally established, and this is coming forth. This is coming out of us. It says in one place, you know, you all, as you come in, you're all giving. It says that the rest may learn, so that we can learn. And I have learned so much from these guys in the last 15 years, or however long we've been doing this. I quit preaching, and I thought, they're not paying me enough. No, I wasn't.
But you know, the intimate group allows, like,
I couldn't resist
going. In bigger groups, you know, in bigger church, I mean, we've been there, done that. There's a lot of, you know, greeting at the door, hello, how are you, obligation, I'm good, everybody's good, and then you look around and you can sit there and you've got the worship people, and they must have a fabulous life, and they love God and no sin, and they're very holy because they're up there singing or whatever. And then you look around, and I'm thinking of a couple of churches in town that I know the people really well, and I'm not making a judgment on them as a thing. It's easy, as we all know, to sit there and be like, oh, well, they're all doing good, and they look happy. Because, hi, never, you know, whatever. You have no idea what happens when they all get back into the car and back, you know, because everybody's human. But also the needs are not specifically met. It's like if there was a bigger group, we don't know if maybe Barb is having just some turmoil over one specific thing. She wouldn't feel to share it with 300 people, nor have the time, because you've got to keep that schedule of the 8:30 service and the 10:30 service, and you can't go over because the 10:30 service has got to start. But, or, you know, or Bonnie, or whatever. But I love the, you know, I mean, it would be obviously more fun or more whatever to have the group grow or bigger. But because of our little group, other people are being affected and ministered to, and trickling. You know, I'm not here for Sunday, but I know that the people that I talk to are affected because I'm real. I can pray with them, not just, God bless you, have a nice day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So those little things trickle and people see that. And you don't have to be part of a first show. I grew up, I know what it's like to see for show or be amazing and thinking that everybody around you is praying with great faith and charisma and whatever. And that's just not impressive. You know what I mean? And we you gotta work on your own salvation. You know what I mean? And
with fear and trembling.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I you know, far be it for me to decide what goes on in other people's spiritual life. But you really get the sense when you talk to the service that you're referring to there, Candy, that it is a matter of checking off the box for Christian, okay, Christian spirituality. Okay, got that one taken care of. Now I can go on and think about the Packers or something.
Well, and it also leaves people to a wonderment of, well, they all look good. Man, we were all arguing on the way here at church. I wonder what they, you know, and they're struggling just the same. If they have children, they all argued at some point that morning. You know, and so but it sets up this false, this everybody being your best behavior and false fakeness and false something. And here, I mean, I know that if I was really in need of something, whether it was physical, mental, emotional, you know, I would kind of just let it out. You know what I mean? I feel comfortable to be able to let it out. Or, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's one of the fine things about this format.
Yeah. And so it's like, I'm going to list them out and all might judge me. But I know they'll pray, too. You know?
Well, we have gotten away from the traditional church service.
Yeah.
This is a non-traditional church service that we hold where you can say something and some, and it may not be right. Somebody else said it's wrong.
Love
but yet you have the freedom to say it, to be corrected, to learn what is right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Otherwise, you're going to sit up there and listen to one person tell you what you should be doing and not listening to the person that you should be listening to tell you what you do and should be doing. And following that, I'm going to step off the thing here just for a bit. You know, Daniel Quay, he wrote poems.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I get the, I don't know what the right word is, to write something. You know, and I forgot to bring it today, but part of what I wrote is, you know, that it's, the title of it was, Give Me Strength. Okay? But I know that my flesh is weak. I also know my spirit is weak. But I also know there's an ember glowing in my spirit that someday is going to take off, and it's going to burn through everything,
mm-hmm.
you know? And another thing I wrote in there was that I need to be strong and to walk with Jesus. And this line came to me. It says, not to walk behind, but to walk beside him, you know?
That's good.
That was amazing.
You know, but I left that one. You all know how my memory is. But yeah, but this is, we've gotten away from the traditional.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing.
Yes.
I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like so many people up there that, you know, Charlie, you have a lot of things to say, which is good, don't get me wrong. Ken does too, a lot of people do. I'm getting there, but it's taking me a long time because I'm not
we are pastors.
No. What
I like is that we don't have to get up and go to the podium to bring it.
Right.
Because by the time you get up, there's somebody else jumping
right. Or
whatever. You know, it's a good flow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually, like what you're bringing up, that's part of the problem too. Because in Corinthians, it says that. Not everybody is supposed to be a speaker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of gifts. And if everybody's just wanting to be a speaker, then we're missing out because we're not getting the rest of the gifts from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's gifts of faith, there's gift of giving, there's gift of healing, there's gift of consoling, you know, and things like that. And I see that in different ones in our little group, which helps.
Gift of praying, gift of just being.
Just being there, agreement. Just support. It's easier to do it like this. Mm-hmm. Be supportive because you might say something that might, that one word that might have, excuse me, a special effect on one person.
Mm-hmm.
And
it has a lot.
You know, Ken can say something that can have an effect on me. He won't know it, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could I bring it and let him know? I could, but I don't want to do it anymore. I'm serious. You know what I'm saying?
Because it isn't us. If it's truth, it's not coming from us. It's coming from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So that's, that wouldn't bother me.
That's why I could pick on you. mention you anyway.
Yeah.
Because I know. Okay.
And it is, pride is something that we are called to overcome.
Yes.
And the way you overcome it is that to deal with it. You know, if an issue never comes up, then you don't struggle with it.
Yeah. In Psalm 19:7, it says, the word of God is perfect, and it converts the soul. And anyway, I was thinking of something, my own testimony, but I started listening to the scriptures of the New Testament 20 years ago, just around the time that Dominic was born. And I have been listening to it day and night for 20 years. And I did it because I was told to. And the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. I did not really benefit a lot at first. But I told Joanne, I said, we need to start listening to the scriptures nonstop. And she said, well, we can't do that. We've got work to do. We've got other things to do. And I explained. I said, no, that's not the picture I got. And so my testimony part is this. Our conversation for the last 15 years, Joanne's life, it was almost constantly, consistently on the Word of God. And I do not think that we had a disagreement in the last 15 years of her life. Besides arguments or anything, I don't think we disagreed ever. You can't disagree when you're in the Word, and all you have is a Word building inside of you. And so I have some understanding in this thing. It got to the place where we were just constantly full of the Word. We talked about it, and she would be in the bedroom in the morning. And she'd say, I just heard this scripture. And I'd go in, and as soon as I went in and we talked about it, I began to understand the scripture right along with her. It was this kind of a thing. I didn't know that that was possible. I didn't know it was possible. It's still hard to talk about it, but it was something that God brought about through His Word. And I'm thankful. I was thinking about that about 3 o'clock this morning. The Word of God will unite, it will bond, it will create. The heavens and the earth were created by God's Word. God is the one that spoke it, but it's still His Word.